Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the beginning of my third week teaching on a subject that I've entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. If you've missed any of this teaching, please call or write and get the materials. We have a brand new book. This is actually a hardback copy of Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. I have a study guide that is 300 pages plus that is specifically intended to facilitate you sharing these truths with other people in Bible studies, Sunday school classes, things like that. We also have CDs, DVDs that were taken from a live Gospel Truth seminar, and also a DVD set that is taken directly from TV. And please get these because I've already covered the foundation. And I talked about that grace and faith have to be mixed together in the proper proportions for us to really see God's power released in our life. Grace is what God does. Faith is what we do. And people tend to either emphasize what God does and say it's just all up to God, or they emphasize what we must do and put all of the burden of seeing the power of God manifest on us. Either one of those extremes will kill you. You can't bear it. If you just emphasize the grace of God, it makes you passive. It's que sera, sera. Whatever will be, and it's just all up to God. I countered an extreme of this that I call the extreme teaching on the sovereignty of God that basically just says that everything that happens is God's will. Now, that's emphasizing grace and forgetting that we have a part to play. But then on the other extreme, people will emphasize what we have to do, which is faith, and they will talk about that we've got to do this, and it leaves the impression that you, in a sense, are making God move. You will often hear people say things like, faith moves God. But the truth is, God moves by grace, completely independent of us. Prior to us even existing, prior to our need, God provides everything by grace. But then faith isn't what we do to make God move. Faith is just our positive response to what we believe God has already provided by grace. Now that is a mouthful. Took me years to get to where I could say that and understand it. Faith doesn't move God. Faith only appropriates what God has already provided by grace. And if you don't mix this together properly, if you get to where you are going to make God heal you, you're going to make the power of God, you are going to pray and fast and not let go until God does this, then you have overemphasized faith. But on the other hand, if you say, well, it doesn't matter what I do, it's just up to God, well, then you have overemphasized grace. You have to put these together in a proper balance in order to be able to get the right results. You know, let me use a passage of Scripture to illustrate this out of 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I've got an entire teaching entitled Lessons from Elijah that go into a lot more detail. But let me just take a passage of Scripture where in the 17th chapter, verse 1, Elijah showed up, gave a prophecy to the king Ahab and said, there won't be rain or dew for years until I say so. And you've got to understand the background of this, that Ahab was a king. He and his wife Jezebel were two of the most ungodly kings that ever ruled over the nation of Israel. And they had been killing prophets of the Lord. They had been murdering them. I mean, it wasn't just persecution in the sense that they tried to silence them or diminish their influence. They were killing them. And for Elijah to walk right up to Ahab and identify himself as saying, thus saith the Lord, who, you know, as the Lord thy God lives, and he put himself in agreement. Let's see, here's the exact terminology. Let me just do this correctly. He said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. In other words, he identified himself with this God, made himself a prophet of the Most High, and put himself right in the crosshairs of Ahab. He literally, his life was in danger, and he delivered this. And after he had done that, in verse 2, it says, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, this has become a major revelation in my life. Like I said, I've got an entire teaching. It's about 90 minutes on just this one point, and I'm just trying to say this quickly. But God made provision for Elijah. His life was in stake, and he told him to go hide himself by this brook. And he says, I have commanded the ravens. The word have means that he had already spoken to these ravens. And so here's my point for bringing this up. God had already made provision for Elijah to be protected. He was going to hide himself at this brook. And God was sending him bread and flesh every morning and every evening by having these ravens bring it to him. And God had already spoken. Now, it was already done. See, that's grace. Grace is God's part. God made provision for protecting his man who had been faithful to deliver his word. And it says that he had already spoken to these ravens. But is it just totally up to God? No, God made provision, but notice it says that I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. He didn't send the provision to where Elijah was. He sent the provision to where he told Elijah to be and to go. It's like in football, you know, we throw a pass and you don't throw it directly at the person who's going to receive it. You lead them. You throw it to where they're going. God sends his provision. Now, this is God's part. This is grace. And it's not based on your goodness or holiness or anything. God, by grace, makes provision for you, but he gives that provision there where he told you to go, not where you are necessarily. So it's not just up to the grace of God. I personally believe that God had already commanded these ravens. They were already gathering the bread and the flesh, and they were already on their way to the brook Cherith. The provision was already made. But if Elijah hadn't have obeyed, like in the next verse, in verse 5, it says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. If Elijah hadn't have gone and done what God told him to do, then God's provision would have still been there. The ravens would have been bringing the bread and the flesh, and it would have been accumulating, but there wouldn't have been, Elijah wouldn't have received it if he hadn't have gone and obeyed. So see, this illustrates that there is a part that God plays and there's a part that you play. God is by grace. God had already provided this. Whether Elijah cooperated or not, God was faithful to make his provision. And you know, I just taught on this. One of the reasons I'm thinking about this is because I just taught on this at the beginning of our school year. And I was telling the students this, that there are, I'm sure, lots of people that God spoke to about coming to our Bible college. And you could make this application to whatever situation you're in. But I can guarantee you there's people that God spoke to about coming to Bible college, but they immediately begin to think, well, you know, how is this going to happen? I don't have a job there. I don't have a place to live there. I don't have this. God, if you will just make all of the provision. And so they want to stay wherever they are. Let's say it's in Dallas or Chicago or wherever. And they want to stay there and they want to see God make all of the provision and work everything out. And when everything is fixed, then they're going to go and obey. Let me ask you, what would have happened if Elijah would have stayed right there and have said, God, you make provision for me, and then I'll go and do? No, God sent the provision to where he told him to go. Going back to this illustration of the Bible school, God sends the provision. If he calls a person to come to our Caris Bible College, then it's going to be here at the Bible college where their provision is. And yet some of them are still in Chicago or Los Angeles or wherever, and they're sitting there waiting on the provision of God when the provision isn't being sent to Chicago or Los Angeles or Dallas. It'll be sent there to where God told you to go. So see, to me, this perfectly illustrates grace and faith. God, by grace, provides for whatever it is that he's led you to do, whatever he calls you to do. There is a provision there, but it's not here. You have to go and do. You have to obey. So God provides, but then you have to cooperate. There has to be this combination of grace and faith. And one of the reasons that people aren't seeing the provision of God, they're praying and asking for it, but they aren't seeing the provision of God, is because they aren't all there. Amen. They aren't doing what God told them to do. Like in my instance, I've been an introvert by nature. And yet when God called me to minister, I had to start speaking to people. And there were times that I'd pray, and, oh, God, just give me boldness. And I'd be in my prayer closet praying for boldness. But God isn't going to give me boldness in my prayer closet. He's not going to send the provision that I need in the prayer closet. It's going to be when I'm out there talking to people. I find out that when I step out and I just begin to start putting myself out on a limb, that's when the provision comes. That's when I have the anointing. God's not going to anoint you in your prayer closet to pray for the sick. He's not going to anoint you in your prayer closet with boldness and give you the words that you need to speak to a person. That's going to happen when you're there doing what God told you to do. So see, here is the balance between grace and faith. Grace is what God does. God makes provision for you, but you have to go and do what God told you to do in order to receive it. It's like the quarterback. He throws the ball, but if the person that was the receiver just stood there and says, well, why did he throw it over there? I'm here. No, they throw the ball to where you're supposed to be going. You can't just stand still and then get mad at the quarterback if you don't receive. It's the same thing. God is making provision for your healing. But God has put this healing on the inside of you, and there's things that you have to do to release the healing power of God. Your actions aren't making God heal you. Now, this is really important. Here's another way of saying the same thing. Your actions don't cause God to respond to you. Now, think about what I'm saying. Most people, when they understand about, you know, there's power in your words, that you can have what you say, Mark 11:23 and Proverbs 18:21, and there's many scriptures that say this. When people understand the power of words, most people think this way, that if I will just confess that I'm healed, then this is going to make the healing power of God work. And they see what they are doing, their acts of faith, as making God move. And so they actually begin to start, in a sense, using like a pry bar, a leverage on God to make God move. And they will confess. And if they don't see the manifestation that they need, then they will go get other people to agree with them in prayer. And thinking that maybe 200, 300, 400, 500 or whatever will put pressure on God. Maybe He wouldn't answer your prayer, but He'll answer the prayer of a dozen people or 500 people. And so we put pressure on God. And if none of those things work, then people think, well, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. And they don't always think this through, this logically, but in a sense what they're doing is thinking that I don't know why God hasn't had pity on me and hadn't had mercy on me and God hasn't moved yet. But when I fast and when I'm starving and when I'm just on the verge of dying, then certainly this God who for whatever reason hasn't been compassionate towards me, that's going to move Him. And we see our fasting and our prayer and our confessing of the Word and our actions of faith as making God do something. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. God is not responding to you. Just like in this example with Elijah, he said, I have already commanded the ravens. Before Elijah even obeyed God and spoke the word to Ahab, before he even needed protection, God had already provided a way for him to escape. He had already had this secluded area along this brook planned for him to hide there. He had already spoken to the ravens. The process was already in work. I tell you, this really blesses me that when I come up against a problem, when something happens to me, it just really ministers to me and gives me a tremendous amount of confidence to know that God wasn't taken by surprise. That, you know, the doctors tell me I'm going to die and all of a sudden God is upset. He didn't see this coming. No, He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. Before you ever had your problem, He already had provided the solution. Everything is already a done deal. He's already placed His power on the inside of you. You do not have to try and get God motivated to do something. God, by grace, has already seen every problem, has already made provision for every problem that you'll ever have. It's already done. But that's not all there is to it. You have to go and do You have to believe. You have to confess, not in order to get God to heal you. God has already placed healing power on the inside of you. But it's voice activated. And it says again in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Not just life, not just death, but death and life. You can use this tongue for good or for bad. You could either sit there and say, well, the doctor says I'm going to die. And by you repeating that diagnosis, you're releasing death. You're in agreement with the doctor. You're speaking forth your fears. You can release death with your tongue, or you could begin to understand that God, by grace, already anticipated. He already provided for this. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24 puts it in the past tense that it's already been done. You can look in Ephesians chapter 1 that you have the same power that raised Christ from the dead in verse 19. This power isn't out there waiting on you to pray and asking God to give it. No, it's already been given. It's already on the inside of you. By His stripes, you were healed. You already have this power. Now, all you got to do is believe. Put faith in what God has already done. And by faith, speak out and voice activate what has already been given to you. You know, I don't know if you're getting this. It takes a revelation from God to be able to get this. I don't know exactly why that is, but it's just like that. This is different than the way that the natural mind thinks. The natural man cannot understand spiritual things, is what it says, 1 Corinthians 2:14. And you just can't get this in your brain. It has to come by revelation. You have to receive this through the Spirit. And I know that when I'm saying these things, a lot of people think, well, what's the difference? One way or the other, you got to pray. You got to study the Word. You got to speak the Word. Who cares, you know, about all of these semantics that you're talking about? It makes a huge difference. If you think that you praying and studying the Word is going to make God move and God is responding to you and to your great acts of faith, that puts all of the burden upon you. And if you speak and do everything you know to do, and if you don't see the right results, then it leads to this inevitable conclusion that God hadn't moved yet. And God, if He wanted to, could just heal you, could change your situation. It could be over. So therefore, you are going to become upset with God. You're going to feel like God isn't faithful. You're going to become bitter. I have people all the time say things like they are angry at God. God failed them. See, that comes from you thinking that if you just push this button and say these things and do everything, then God responds to you. And so if you've done everything you know to do and you haven't yet seen the right results, then God's the one that failed. That is never true. And it shows that you don't have a real revelation of this balance of grace and faith. God, by grace, has provided everything that you will ever need, and in advance of you needing it. For instance, when it comes to salvation, Jesus doesn't die for you now. You might have gotten saved in 1960 or 1970, or you might have gotten saved last week, but that's when you received what Jesus had already provided on the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus died for the forgiveness of your sins. He paid, He suffered and paid for your sins 2,000 years ago. And when you get born again is not when God saved you. That's when you receive the salvation that was already provided. Jesus isn't dying for people today. He is not healing people today. You were healed 2,000 years ago. And if you receive your healing today, that's what happened. You just received it. God didn't just give it. He provided everything 2,000 years ago. And so see, once you understand this, man, it takes the struggle out of faith. Faith is not something I am doing to try and wring my blessing from God and squeeze it out of Him and put pressure on Him and make God move. Faith is just resting in grace, that God, by grace, has already anticipated my need before I ever had the need. God had the supply. God has already provided it. God has already put this on the inside of me. I believe it. And now I'm going to confess the Word, not to make God do something. I'm not going to force God into doing anything. But I believe that I'm healed. I believe that He placed this same power on the inside of me that raised Jesus from the dead. And so instead of saying what the doctor says and what my body feels, I say what the Word of God says, what God told me. And I speak it not in order to manipulate and to make God do something, but because I believe that He did it. My faith is a response to what God has already provided by grace. Now, that's a great definition of faith. Faith is a positive response to what God has already done by grace. Faith is not something you do to get a positive response from God. Major difference. You know, that's so easy to say those two sentences, and yet, in those sentences, if you understand this and say it properly, this is what releases the power of God. If you think, I am going to do this and pray and fast and go to church and then God is going to do something for me, then you aren't in biblical faith. You're in what the Bible calls works. You're in legalism. And that's the one thing that will stop the power of God. God is never going to owe you something. God, by grace, has already provided everything. It's a grace gift. You don't deserve any of the things of God. It's not based on your goodness. It's all up to God's grace. But you do have a part to play. You have to respond positively to God's grace. And you have to act in faith. But that faith doesn't move God. That faith moves you. It puts you there where God has commanded the blessings. Faith gives you access to what God has already provided by grace. Faith doesn't make God provide something. Faith only gives you access. And this is exactly what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 2. It says, whereby, talking about grace or faith, we have access to that grace. And that word for access there is the exact word that we get admission from. If you were to go into a movie theater or something, you have to pay an admission price, and that gains you access to that show. The thing that gives you access to what God has already provided by grace is faith. Faith gives us access, admission into the grace of God. But it doesn't make God do anything. God, by grace, has already provided. He's anticipated. He's made all of the provision. It's a done deal. And now all your faith is a positive response to what God has already provided by grace. Here's another way of saying that exact same thing, just a different phrase, is that faith only appropriates what God has already provided by grace. If His grace hasn't provided it, your faith can't make it happen. But God has already anticipated everything that you will ever need. He's already provided it by grace. And now, will you just respond positively? Will you confess Jesus as your Lord and receive that salvation? Will you confess that by His stripes you're healed instead of confess what you feel and what the doctor says? Will you confess that God supplies all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Philippians 4:19. Or are you going to confess that we're in a recession and, oh, I'm fearful, and are you going to speak forth death instead of life? God has already provided everything that you'll ever need, but you have to respond positively to God's grace, and that's what we call faith. This is what I'm teaching on, and this week I'm beginning to get into some things that are really going to help you. So I encourage you to continue to listen and watch our Gospel Truth broadcast. Also, please get these materials. I've got this brand new hardback book, study guide, DVDs, and CDs. Listen as our announcer gives you that information.
Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available for the very first time in book form. You can receive a hardback copy when you send a gift of any amount. Request book T228 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish paperback version is also available. Request book T737. The Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T428 when you contact the ministry. This five-part teaching was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1064C or DVD album T3208D. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1064D when you send a gift of any amount. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The third teaching in the CD album titled Grace, A Done Deal is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching number TA25C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to direct you towards our website because we have archived there over 2,000 of my television programs and many more thousands of my radio programs. You could actually watch the rest of this week's programs right there on your computer. These are free. And I also have my teachings, about 300 or 400 of my teachings available as free MP3 downloads. It's a great website. Plus, we have a guest book there where I try and read those comments on our guest book every single day. So I would encourage you to get it for your own edification and ministry, and also to let me know if God is using these programs and ministering to you.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
He's given this whole ocean of all of His provision. It's never God's giving that is at question. It's our minds. We shut off the flow of God with our wrong thinking, and we only experience a tiny bit.